Welcome to GamerCast episode 98. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul, and this is GamerCast.
Live. On the...
Second,
yeah, my watch needs changing.
But how can it be 2 days out?
Because it counts for the extra...
Extra 2 days we have this year?
It's not a digital watch.
Yeah, boys, how can it be 2 days out?
Because
you mess around with it, don't you?
Yeah. I can't get the hours to change. Come on. There we go.
Have you finished messing around with your watch yet? Because we are actually recording.
It's 12 o'clock in the morning.
It isn't 12 o'clock in the flipping morning. It's 19:15. December 2nd, 2007.
So it's quarter past...
The day the Venezuelans go to the polls.
Quarter past six. Is it quarter past seven already?
19:15.
Jeez. There we go.
Oh, we so should adopt metric time.
Sorted.
Let the glory of the French Revolution live on in metric time. With the 10-hour clock.
Okay. So, did we have any letters over this large period of us not being here?
No.
Well, as some people...
Well, hang on. Let me check the forums, because I never check the forums anymore.
Monkey.
Hey, stop spoiling my election campaign. I can't be associated with a monkey. Oh, wait, that's David Laws. Right, anyway. Mr. Smith says he left because it was dull. I mean, podcasting is so 2005. Get with the times and make a video cast. No.
Yeah, we'll make a video cast and we will stop all this podcasting cast and then do a stream off of sound for all the people who want to download and listen to it at a later date. And we'll even put it out live if someone pays us the money to be able to do that. If someone says you're the Grinch, quite a good picture.
And they photoshopped me as the Grinch. Right, that's cool. My reply to these people is bandwidth costs money. Video, more bandwidth. People like audio so they can concentrate on something else while listening. Somebody asked me why I don't celebrate Christmas, and they say, so what if it's a religious holiday? You can still be jolly and marry and enjoy the company of your family. I don't want to marry my family, not really. That came from Achilles, or Achilles, or whatever his name is. I never know how that's said. Catherine is nice enough to answer for me. It's because he isn't religious, and the main point of Christmas is it's a religious holiday. Plus, other than it being a religious holiday, I'm sure it's way too capitalist to rake the money in. What? It's a way for capitalists to rake the money in or something. Which would be another reason he doesn't like Christmas.
I think that's right on the... That's the money shot.
Yep, so that a few conversations going on in forum land.
Forum.
But other than that, we had no feedback on the blog. Maybe it's broken. Maybe I should do a test post.
Okay.
I know. Let's listen to Windows Weekly with Paul Farad. Oh, no. Let's look at this Voyager image. This is for a blog post I've been meaning to do all week.
Right.
So it's called Voyager 1. It's like there, and Voyager 2 is over here.
And we're there.
And there's funky graphics.
Ooh, is that like a stretched picture of the moon behind? Or is that... Was that Helio?
That's the heliosphere. That is the basically the sun generates a magnetic field, and that's the area of like the solar wind. Well, the termination shock is where the solar wind balances out. The heliosheath and sphere is where the where the system is moving through the galaxy and it pushes it back like that.
Right.
That's what this big funky fire is. Which, if you look out now, you can see as the sky burns.
I'm gonna die.
So yeah, Voyager 2, we're passing outside the termination shock area in the next couple of months.
Does that mean it might die or something, or it just speeds up? Or
no, it just means the basically the cosmic rays from the rest of the universe and galaxy are stronger than the solar wind coming from the sun at that distance.
Cool.
Yeah, if I knew we were doing a science lesson, I would actually like put some notes down so I wouldn't have to think of it off the top of my head.
Okay. Makes you think of
it. So that's what's going on my desktop this week. Oh, we should do a segment. Every week I tell you what's on my desktop. So yeah, I've got the recycle bin, which has got probably a couple of gigabytes of crap in it. And I've got my Voyager 2 thing, and I've got the Windows Weekly podcast, which has not yet been transferred to my mobile phone. But other than that, that's all I've got on my desktop.
It's nice, neat and clean.
Yeah, I have a tiny desktop. I don't like a mess. Yeah.
Cool. My desk at work is a mess.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
But my desk at work is a mess anyway.
So is mine. I've got like SimCity 4 over there. I've got my tablet PC set there. If I had a cup of tea, that would be there.
I have
dangerously
jammed,
close to the
I have
tablet PC.
In front of my monitors, my monitor up to the monitor, it's just piles and piles of DVDs in envelopes.
Oh, that reminds me, my 5 free HD DVDs have come.
Have they?
Yep.
I haven't sent mine off yet.
I'll get a move on.
Yeah, better head.
I haven't watched any of them, but never mind.
And you scanned in your...
Yep, this box. Is what I did. I printed out the... I opened Word.
Mm.
No, that's a lie. I didn't open Word first. I printed out the form onto half the piece of paper, so I cut off the top bit. Then I took a picture of the receipt with my camera. I put that in the computer, then I printed that out on the same piece of paper by putting the piece of paper back in the printer, and then I cut the barcode off and stuck that on the piece of paper.
Cool.
And then I put it in an envelope, wrote the address on it, and then I posted it by using Royal Mail first class stamp.
I've got as far as cutting off the barcode.
I gave you that 2 weeks ago, and that's how far you've got.
No, I mean, that's all I've got to do left. All I've got to do is cut off the barcode and fill out the form.
Well, I think Catherine just like took an image of the barcode or something. So I'm not sure. Catherine, what did you do with the HD DVD thingy offer? I really should need it. I need a drink. Well, let's continue anyway.
Let's continue with the show. In the news.
In the news, Blizzard have announced they are buying Gamercast.
I wish.
Yeah, we now get paid £20. Yeah, that reminds us, we need money, people, donations. It costs too much money. Yeah, so give us some money. The donate button's on the website because we're... This is cost... Yeah, you probably... Yeah, it's December now. You owe me money.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to get to the bank. They normally would have paid you last week.
I wasn't here last week.
And I've only just got here.
Catherine says she sent the sticker off the box.
You actually got the sticker off?
Yeah.
I'm bothered about...
I tried pulling it off, and then it started falling apart, so then I just cut it all off.
Yeah.
Cardboard included.
I might try and get a scalpel and just take the first layer of cardboard off so I can still use the box to transport it in.
But indeed, but that's what she did, so yeah, whatever.
Okay, make sure the real one.
So yeah, for those listeners wondering what the hell we're on about, this is about the 5 free HD DVD offer, which you can make use of if you buy an HD DVD drive for the Xbox 360 or a bunch of Toshiba players as well.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers out tomorrow. HD DVD.
I've already got it. I've had it for weeks.
I object to your illegal import thing because you didn't pay any tax on it.
Damn right.
How much was it?
£17.
Where did you order it from?
Play USA.
£17? You might as well buy it from here.
It was more expensive. It was £20 on play.com. Yeah. So that's why I was like, yeah, it was that. So I thought, fuck, I'm not waiting, I'm getting it now.
Oh, Play really annoyed me the other day. Did you hear about the Planet Earth thing?
Oh,
were you here for that?
No, but you've been waiting for Planet Earth on HD DVD.
Yeah, I ordered it from Play, they sent me the Blu-ray version.
Oh, no.
So I sent it back, and what I told them just to refund it, and I ordered it from Amazon in the end. Because otherwise I'd be waiting like another like 5 days for it. Give me your money back, thank you. I'll order from Amazon.
I wondered why the HD DVD drive was giving it what for. I saw you on playing it. I'm sure it was you, or it might have been someone else.
It could be someone else. That's the trouble, everyone just logs in as me because I log in automatically.
Yeah.
Which means I get gamer score.
Crafty.
But nobody's good enough to get any gamer score, so it's really pointless.
You want to get Assassin's Creed, good gamer score there. 25 gamer score for assassinating your goal. So all you do is complete each memory block of levels and you get gamer score.
Isn't that it? Like, that isn't very creative, is it?
There's loads of hidden stuff. So obviously there ain't enough to make up the 1,000, but you get a good lump of gamer score there. Which is nice. But we'll talk about that more.
Well, hey.
So yeah, that merger. So it's basically the people who created World of Warcraft, Warcraft... StarCraft and so on. Blizzard Entertainment. Are merging with the company that did Guitar Hero. Trying to think what else.
Quake.
Did you have the link?
Doom.
Yeah.
Activision. Tony Hawk's.
Yeah, the Tony Hawk's.
All that lot. Activision.
Yeah. So, yeah. Vendors.
Shares of Vivendi Games will be converted into 295.3 million new shares of Activision, which values Vivendi Games at $8.1 billion. Vivendi will also purchase 62.9 million newly issued shares in Activision for 1.7 billion cash. Where's mine? Blizzard are really raking it in.
Speaking of Blizzard,
Talk about World of Warcraft, just so we can get massively online multiplayer RPGs in the first 10 minutes of the show.
Damn right.
Damn, it's 12 minutes.
On the latest patch update, they've added...
2.3.
Yeah, added quite a cool feature.
I want to play Warcraft, but I'm not allowed.
Why not?
I'm not allowed.
Because she wants to play with you and she didn't move the player. Okay. Shops have been added to the travel pass. So when you get a boat to somewhere.
So the boat has got a shop on it?
Yeah. A goblin will be there and you can buy stuff.
Can you buy stuff for cheap prices considering the evil elves aren't taxing you loads of money?
I think it's standard prices, quick things that you need to pick up that, you know, like you need to make sure you've got plenty of food, water.
Sure you've got a big axe. Hoorah!
The big thing about it is there will be someone there that will be able to fix your armour. So if you go, oh damn it, my armour's...
Hang on a minute, I can fix my own armour, can't I? I'm a blacksmith.
Yes, if you're a blacksmith you should be able to fix your own armour, but you need to be able to go to a forge to do it. So obviously you need to go to a city to do that. Or somewhere that's got a blacksmith. But it's quite good because it means as you're moving along you can get that ability to fix your armor and stuff, so I thought it was quite good, but I haven't gone back into it since.
No, I'm waiting for Catherine, because if I start playing it by myself I'm going to get told off. Unless I start a new character, which I can't be bothered to do. Not when I've got my like level 29, like two level 29 dudes on there already.
Why don't you just leave one there to play with her and carry on with the other one?
And I'll spoil it.
Well, you can play that one with me. Cause I'm 29.
Dudinov! I could bring Dudinov back.
Yeah, bring Dudinov back.
But I gave all Dudinov stuff to the new guy.
Well, we'll just have to get him some new stuff. If you start playing again, I'll play online as well. I'll move my characters across.
No, maybe. Okay, maybe. I'll think about it. I'll still get told off, though.
If you come back, it would be worth me paying the £14 to transfer Brinley, my dwarf, who's level 29, across to the
back
server.
Back onto Steam Weedle Cartel.
Yeah, because I don't play with anybody on that one, so I might as well move them across. I've been leveling them up nicely, and I got some nice list of quests to do in a certain order to help with leveling and stuff, and keep the ball rolling, so I'm not stuttering and going, "Oh, what to do next?" Which is quite cool. We were speaking about HD DVD. You know, Xbox 360 sends something off and gets something for free. Nintendo announced that from set time, which I cannot remember, all Wiis will come with a silicon hand grip for all of the Wii remotes. It will come in with them.
And because, how is that news?
Because, let me finish, because no one else will get that, and only people who buy the new Wiis after the end of this year.
What's so special about the new Wiis?
Nothing, apart from they come with these silicon hand grips.
Boring.
So if you go onto the official website, which you will find has been changed and is down at the moment because it's being updated. It's being rebuilt.
Who runs their IT department?
I don't know. Well, if you go on the American one, that's all been refinished. There's a nice little article and stuff about the Wii Zapper and all the games that are going to be out for it and stuff, and some videos showing it in action. And
so you want me to put on the show notes Nintendo stuff?
Yeah. And also, it shows a quick little video of Link's crossbow training and stuff, so it's quite cool. But yeah, you go on there, follow a link to these silicon things, and all you got to do is quickly fill in your details, the serial number of your Wii, and hit submit, and they'll send you some silicon hand grips for your Wii.
And what do these silicon hand grips do?
You put your Wii remote in them, and it gives a bit more grip, so when your hands get a bit more sweaty, you're not going to go whoosh, and you can fly.
Waste of time.
Which I'm liking, because the amount the most funniest thing I've seen is some guy trying to play Legend of Zelda, and he can't see the top left of his screen because while playing Wii Sports, one of his mates let go of the Wii remote without the strap on, and it went right through his plasma screen.
Oh, jeez.
On the top left hand corner. And now that we've got an expensive TV, I don't want anyone playing Wii Sports when they come over and throwing the Wii remote anywhere. But it's not too bad. Free. It's free. Just fill in your details, showing your serial number. And there is a legal statement at the bottom telling you that
says to you, by receiving this item, you waive all legal rights to sue Nintendo, any subsidiaries owned by Nintendo, to listing sounding good, huh? You waive the right to criticise Nintendo products in the press, and so on and so on.
Well, actually, you know, I was going on about the fact that I needed to get my Wii registered. They state that you can't use it in any way of proving that is your Wii, because as soon as they send you your silicon gloves for your Wii remote, they delete all your details, so they won't pass them on to any other third party companies or send you any information or anything like that. The information you
fill in, just how things should be handled anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So it's nice to see that you know that.
It's just a shame Nintendo were ranked bottom in the environmental roundup of companies. Bottom last place, Nintendo.
Yeah.
Sony were actually quite high. I was actually quite surprised. I'd rather Sony be bottom, but never mind.
Yeah, you can't have everything. So, next you got your Xbox 360 December update.
Yes, so for those who keep track in the land of internet, the autumn, or fall, if you're an American comrade in American land, the autumn update, which is actually December, because it was December now, will be coming out on the 4th of December, early in the morning Pacific Standard Time, so probably afternoon time in Western Europe. And yeah, it's got quite a lot of new features actually. The main thing obviously being Xbox original games you can download now, which I won't be making use of because I refuse to pay for a game anyway.
I will be making use of it, but only for probably Xbox games which I absolutely loved and wish that I had.
Can I find it, mate?
Yeah, and it never got rid of in the first place, sort of thing. I will buy those ones. And also the fact that it means that I can sit down, power up the Xbox, and sometimes I'll just play a demo or something. I'm just not in the mood to go root around for a game and stick it in or whatever. So it means that there is a full-blown Xbox One game there waiting for me that I can just go in, load it up, play it, save, and come back out again or whatever.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I've got the full list of changes which are on MSDN, blogs.msdn.com/Xbox Team. So let's just try. So yeah, because before Messenger wouldn't work with child accounts, because you're going to have a child like Xbox, like a Windows Live ID child account, which I know a lot of people had had set up for them by their parents, which wouldn't support. That is now supported on there. So as long as you're over 13, you can make use of the that stuff. Blah 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 blah. Added support for migrated Zune accounts to Xbox Live accounts. Blah blah blah, because they've shared the same points.
Mm-hmm.
The Zune store and the other thing.
Really? So you could just go buy yourself a load of points and then go, right, I'll go buy myself an Xbox One game, I'm going to buy myself some new things to go on my background, or buy myself an album to go on my Zune, and that's pretty cool.
Parental controls now have time limits as well. So instead of just blocking out certain levels of games, you can force time limits upon your spawn.
That's cool, so you don't have them playing all day, or you leave them alone.
No, you're allowed to play on it for 5 minutes. I know the game you've got takes 4 minutes to load up, but tough. You should get a smaller game, take less time long to load. The account has all been, the dashboard has all been speeded up a bit as well.
Cool.
So optimizations there. New community features. They've got a new Inside Xbox on the Xbox Blade, which I don't know what the hell the deal with that is.
I do
added support to show a friend's real name. This is something I've been after for a long time, because I never know who everybody's name is.
Another feature I know is coming out.
See,
which
for
I'm
me, it's simple because I'm the Smirnoff across the whole internet.
Yeah. One thing that I do like that I know is being added is the ability to
kill people in Halo.
Oh, my mobile's going off. Oh, funny.
Dude.
Hang on, it might be important. Let me just see who it is. Incoming call. Hello. Goodbye.
Right, now that's over and done with.
Yeah, as I was saying, the new features. So, say for heaven's sake,
I'm a leprechaun.
Someone knew that I played with one of their friends.
Dude.
So I play on Xbox Live Halo with my mate Andy, and my mate James from uni. We all used to live together. Now if he gets Xbox Live, and he sends me and goes, "Oh, what's your tag?" And I go, "Oh, it's this." And he clearly we're playing along. Now he'll be able to go look on my friends list, find Andy, and then click on him and send him an invitation.
Yeah, you can look at other people's friends list now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite good.
Which I thought was quite a good way of doing it, because if you know that that person hangs out with that person and they've got them on their friends list, it allows you to share that out a bit better.
Yeah. It's a bunch of optimizations to video playback, new fonts, improvements to HDMI stuff, new keyboard stuff, tons of stuff changed in the marketplace. Well, there's probably most of that affects the US, probably, like it's all video stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some new options to music playback, improved performance of Play All with attached MTP devices, and so on and so on. Oh, now supports PNG files when streamed from Windows Media Player 11 on Windows Vista. Blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it's really tons of stuff.
It really done a serious improvement on
changes to the MPEG 4, improved quality. Let's just read off a few things so people get the idea of how detailed this list is. Improved quality of MP4 decoder, improved interlace support, improved quality of MP4 decoder, out of order frame output, bidirectional motion vector handling, etc.
I like this. improve support for video bookmarks when playing MPEG-4s on USB portable hard drives. Hello. Goodbye.
Wait, right, now the phone is sorted again.
Now we know who is actually ringing. And I've told them not to ring back.
Ooh, added fade-out transition when powering down console. Cool.
I imagine a lot of things are not going to be that noticeable.
No, most of the stuff you won't notice.
But...
changed ring of light to change it so you only get 2 or 4 red lights and never 3. So we don't have to pay out on warranty. Yeah, they don't put that in there, do they? What does 2 red lights mean? Because there was some dude coming today who had 2 red lights.
Is it 4 red lights of dead?
4 red lights is AV cable.
Yeah, 3 red lights is dead. 2 red lights...
equals...
I'm not entirely sure what the 2 red lights is, if there is actually 2 red lights. 2 red lights might mean that...
the machine is both dead and the AV cable is dead.
Yeah. It means either the AV cable is unplugged, it is dead, and also one or more of your lights do not work in the red colour. The red LEDs don't work. HDMI improvement handling.
And it's support for Polish and Russian USB keyboards. So yeah, there's loads of stuff, check it out for yourself. blogs.msdn.com/xboxteam be released early 4th of December in the US.
Cool.
And apparently according to this, the entire Xbox operating system resides in only 16 megabytes of space. And runs in 32 megabytes of system memory.
See, the thing I like about the Xbox 360 is that everybody knows that when games come out, if you look at any game, for argument's sake, you look at the Nintendo Entertainment System, you look at the first games that were coming out on...
Hang on a minute, let's talk about Halo.
You got the soundtrack for number 3.
Yes, I do. Just released like last week or the week before. At £9 on Amazon.
Sweet. I might need a copy of that.
Yeah, Amazon, £9.
I'll bring a disc.
Yeah, Amazon, £9.
I forgot what I was saying now.
You're talking about selling on the SNES or selling console.
Yeah, if you look at the NES and look at like Mario, and then you look at
Mario.
Let
we,
me finish.
Then we you look don't at, need Mario prancing around.
You look at the last release. There was a jump in graphics. You look at Xbox One, and you look at Halo, and then you look at Halo 2. There's always a big jump. Now, we knew that I have seen a mass improvement of Xbox 360 release titles, year later titles, and now titles, and we know that through the future the titles will get better. But one thing has never, ever happened.
What?
The console has never got better.
The console has never exploded in a fit of disaster.
It's never been updated. It is
Hang
always
on, Nintendo 64, you have the extra RAM.
Yeah, that extra RAM, yeah, you plugged it in. What it meant was that certain games wouldn't work. So yeah, for things to be changed software-wise, and also hardware-wise, having extra hard drives and stuff like that and changed and bits and bobs, it means that maybe the Xbox 360 will...
2 discs, £9. Good price.
Okay. Will last a longer time, so it's not like we've got this great idea, yeah, put it on the shelf until we make another console. It's like, no, get it ready for the December's update and we'll just bung it on. So it kind of makes me happy that it was a good idea, the Xbox 360. It does what it says on the box.
Have you finished being an Xbox 360 fanboy yet?
Yeah.
Good, let's talk about Halo 3.
I'm all warm and fuzzy inside. Right.
Oxlow says that Mario, although he actually writes Matteo rules. I don't know who Matteo is.
Matteo. My name is Matteo, and I make macro poo. Okay, shall I do my review now?
Yeah, get on with your review, Mr. Assassin. Let's play the Halo 3 music in the background. That would go really well with Assassin's Creed.
Bought Assassin's Creed.
Hey.
No, I didn't actually. My girlfriend bought it for me.
Can I have it?
No. Oh. It's good though.
And there's me going to lend you Supreme Commander.
Oh, I'm addicted to it. I'm playing it constantly. Hey, I'm going to lend you Lego.
Oh, thanks. The game I've already got.
Have you got it?
No.
Well then. Well, where should I start? Basically, I was pleasantly shocked when I started playing the game.
Pleasantly shocked?
Yeah.
What is that, like an electric shock somewhere nice?
Yeah.
Oh, my brain.
0.3 volts. Oh.
My brain is going to trip out city.
Colors. I was expecting from watching the trailers and the little... I had not looked into too much on this game. I watched the trailer and I watched one demo from E3 of it being played. And that got me hooked. And I decided not to look into any more of it. I'll quite happy wait for the game to come out.
Where's my copy of the game? Why don't I get a free copy? I'm the co-host of Gimmercast.
No, I get a free copy.
What? Why do you get the copy? You're only the co-host of Gimmercast.
Because I rule. let me finish my review.
Well, get on with it then. Stop letting me interrupt you.
I didn't expect for this game that is about
assassin. Hang on. Stop. This is what Adam is trying to say. He thinks the game is really good and he recommends everybody buys it.
The end.
That's what's going on here.
Right, let's use simple words. I did not realise that Assassin's Creed is actually based in the future, not the past.
Huh?
Exactly.
If it's in the future, why the hell am I prancing around in medieval Jerusalem?
Exactly. Now, this is the bit that gets you. And
you're a future time traveller.
Oh, no, even better.
History.
Basically, a secret medical organisation has kidnapped you.
Oh, great. I've been kidnapped.
Yeah. You're a bartender.
No, I'm not.
And you've been kidnapped.
I'm a sales monkey again.
And they're forcing you to do this experiment. They've got this special device that can read the genetic memories in your genetic code. They found out that a way to read them so that they can go through and read like your past lives sort of thing.
Hang on a minute.
So, you know,
a bunch of pseudoscientific nonsense.
Let me just...
Your genetic store memory.
Yeah, do you know the
do you know how long it would take to replicate a cell if the whole 4 billion year history of our genes was like...
Well, they do this whole scientific... It's science fiction. They explain...
It's not science fiction, it's nonsense.
Well, let me finish anyway. So they've got
just said it back then. Don't try and come up with this pseudoscientific mumbo jumbo about genetic memory.
Well, anyway, they're after something in the past, and the only way to get it is by finding out where it ended up. So they've kidnapped this bloke because they know that his ancestor was part of the Assassin's Creed in Jerusalem. And they force him to relive his ancestor's memories to find something. You don't know what it is, but that's... And I'm not ruining anything for anyone because that's basically what you get told.
You've ruined the game for me. It went from a good game, set back in the olden days, to some stupid game where they're trying to get some guy's memory with some futuristic genetic nonsense which is based on no evidence whatsoever.
Right, let me finish. Which kind of freaked me out first.
I object to your anti-scientific mumbo-jumbo.
Shut up, it's not
Therefore, banned. Assassin's Creed is now banned from Gimmercast.
It does make it quite interesting because...
Interesting? It makes me want to vomit in terror. Kids are thinking that, oh look, there's genetic memories in my cell.
You never know.
What do you mean you know? Of course we know. We've done the work. We know what the cell is. We know there's no secret memories from our 4 billion year past in our cells.
What about... And it's in the DNA.
Yeah, and the DNA is in the cell.
Yeah, the DNA holds the whole coding to for an entire blueprint, so why would it not hold? What they're saying is behind it holds the genetic memories, and that's the reason why birds go back to the same place all the time and stuff like that. And it's not instinct, it's actually that sort of thing. There's a whole bit about it. The guy who you play has that argument with the scientist. That it's a load of mumbo-jumbo and it can't be real.
Don't call some guy who supports this wacky nonsense a scientist. He's not. He's a pseudo-scientific mumbo-jumboist.
Anyway, onto the game. Ignore the science. You can whinge about the science in a minute.
I will put this on my blog.
Yes.
I will write a massive thing
about it. You blog it. So, because you're locked in this room...
I want to make it clear. People listening to the show, this is nonsense.
Oh, yeah, it is nonsense, but it's good nonsense.
No, it's...
Let me.
We've got enough mumbo jumbo in biology going around. We don't need any more.
For a game,
it's even worse because then it gets into the mass media and the mass consciousness, and then I end up with some guy arguing with me because he thinks we have the secret history of the past in ourselves.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I want to slap the guy.
Well, I hardly think they'll ever build a machine that can ever allow you to read them. So the whole idea is
we can read DNA.
Yes, you get on this table. You get on this table, and it allows him to relive those experiences.
They put him on a table.
He puts his visor over your head.
That's his technology.
But the good thing about it is, after each level, you come out, and your character's allowed to walk around, and he's trying to also investigate in his real world what the hell's going on. And then you go to bed, you wake up the next day, and you've got to get back on the machine and relive another couple of days. The other thing that is quite interesting is, you know, like sometimes you get annoyed with the whole fact that
I'm well aware of that. What's that like?
You've got to travel all the way, you know, the level doesn't just start in a new city. You've got to ride a horse all the way to the city and stuff like this. And
where did he get a horse from? How rich is this guy?
No, he just nicks him. It's like Grand Theft Auto, you nick someone's horse.
He nicked a horse?
Yeah, you just get a horse.
What?
But the interesting,
why would there be horses in Jerusalem?
They're outside the city. They've got horses everywhere.
What about camels? Indiana Jones taught me one thing. Don't have a horse when you can have a camel.
No, it's don't have the camels. Keep getting me the horses. Anyway.
Don't you tell me what to do, Indy. I know my job good. Get camel. 4 camels to the horse.
For him to pay back his brother-in-law's car. But yeah, one thing they do is, because when you complete the level, you, instead of having to say, oh, you've completed a level, or
okay, bomb this game,
you have now to walk all the way back. You can do if you want, you can go all the way back out of the city from the place you're at where you finished the assassination and go all the way back to the town where you come from. But instead you click on a button to say you want to, you know, instead of going, oh, you teleport there or whatever in some games, to speed it up so you're not having to do this whole I'm bored now. It just comes up this loading screen and goes fast forwarding memories, and then it moves along to another memory block so that you end up there, and that speeds things up a little bit better, so you can either take things slowly and actually live out all the memories.
It's ridiculous. Or you can live out the memories. Hang on a minute, I've got a question. Let's remember how humans do things. Our memories are stored in the brain,
mm-hmm.
right? By which mechanism are the memories stored in the brain transferred to our reproductive organs?
I don't know. It might be in the cells in the brain. It might be.
The cells in the brain go down through the body and then back up
every cell,
over here.
Would you agree that every cell has the same genetic blueprint?
Almost every cell in the body has DNA, correct?
And the DNA matches each cell.
Well, yeah, if it's the same, my cells have the same DNA. If they're cells of DNA, yes.
Yeah. Well, what they're saying is, you've got your the DNA. What this is what they say in the game. Okay, so it's not me. I'm just repeating what it said in the game. Was the forefront part holds the information for the blueprint. Inside the DNA, it holds a blueprint when they broke it down because they've never been able to look inside properly. But
what?
In the background,
we've sequenced DNA. We know what DNA is.
Yeah, well, I can't. You're gonna
we know the exact arrangement of the
atoms. I may be getting it wrong. You might have to. I'll bring the game.
And the
around.
Next problem is, say for example, I have a kid now, right? Mm. That kid gets flushed out and, you know, done, right? Everything that happens to me after that is not going to be in that kid. Therefore, you don't have to complete memories, even if your hypothesis is accurate.
Yeah, true.
So how do they get around that?
Well, it is this guy's young life. He's not married or anything.
Oh,
Yeah, he's an assassin.
He's an assassin. He can't have a wife. He's an assassin.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You're playing the game, and then you get to the bit, and all of a sudden you go and he knocks him. He has sex, and he goes, memories does not continue, and then you carry on. But it looks like it's going to be a good series.
There's a reason the brain is this big when our cells are only yay big.
Wait a minute. Shall I get onto the
actual?
Because
brain holds more data than what is in our genome.
Shall I get onto the gameplay now?
No, let's talk about the science.
Right.
Oh, let's play FIFA 3.
Oh
wait, let's not, because FIFA 2 was the best.
Gameplay. Very intuitive with the third person running around.
They should have made it first person.
Oh no, it needs to be.
Yeah, first person.
It is.
It's an assassin game. It's bound to be a shooter, right? You go around shooting people.
No.
Oh.
You've got a nut.
Oh, so it's in the future, but it's also in the past, and it doesn't have guns.
No, you're reliving
the
past.
Hang on a minute. What? Give me a year. A year.
1400. It is in Jerusalem when the Templars are there. During the Crusades.
Can we make it a couple hundred years later? Because then we can make up some stuff about them having cannons and stuff.
All you see are people in knights with...
From knights, Prince. The last thing we need in our Jerusalem is some
and
Christians
Templars.
Trying to kill
and
us.
And Templars. So you're
Christians, get out of my city.
And you're fighting against the Templars.
Good. I'm going to fight.
You actually get this thing, you probably get gamer score for killing all the Templars you can find. You actually knock them off one at a time. But it is quite good with the fact that you walk around everywhere. And the four buttons do something individually. One of them, which is when you walk past someone, you'll nudge them. And that person might have something in
their
hand.
What are you doing?
And
going around walking into people.
And they'll drop stuff. And it brings attention to yourself. So you hold down the B button and you move your hands to try and move people out of your way so that you just blend. You kind of sway through the people so you're not attracting
people.
Your attention to yourself. You can also, because you're in these white robes, you can pretend to be a priest so you can bow your head down and you can actually
pretend to be a priest.
You can walk
then you go around and kill everyone.
You walk next to the priest and you can like blend into them. You've also got what's known as first-person vision, which allows you to look around in.
So that's called first-person.
And that is just for a glance around. And then you've got an attack, which you can either punch someone or you can assassinate them. Now, if you pull the trigger in, that goes to high profile. So when you move forwards, you actually start running. And people kind of don't understand why you're running through the street. So you attract attention to yourself. While you're running, you can push A to jump. B won't be move them out the way. You actually grab them by the scruff of the clothes and you can throw them out the way.
What? Dude, what if I told you about that?
Attack will be more vicious as well as the fact you'll be able to pull out a weapon. First person view will be exactly the same. But you also get combinations of stuff. So now that when I'm running, I can also use the B button to knock you out the way and stuff. And when you hold down A, you go into free running mode. Do you know what free running is?
You run.
Have you ever seen James Bond, the last one?
James, are you kidding?
Okay, no, it just there's an
James
example of free
Bond. Running. I object to James Bond right-wing propaganda.
Okay, free running is a new type of sport where people
they're
running
that.
And they're jumping off different things. Well, he does that. So when you're running along, you can run along the rooftops, jump from post to post onto the things, climb
and
up
hopefully
stuff.
Fall over and crack his head open.
That is absolutely amazing.
A punk running around on the streets.
It does make it very interesting for it being chased, and it's got like a chase cam, so that comes out and you can see further apart. But yeah, the assassination is quite good because they don't tell you what to do. Part of the storyline is that you're having to redeem yourself, so you don't get the information, your intel, given to you about this assassination. You've actually got to go out into the people and earwig people. Pickpocket people.
Earwigs?
No, listen to people. So you sit
you
on a bench.
You don't want earwigs creeping around.
You sit on a bench and you listen to people's conversations to get all this intel on how you're going to go.
How well does that work, though? Because it might strike me as, everybody's talking about exactly what I need to know at the right time.
You will find people that look like they're having a conversation, and you can try it on them. You can go up and sit down, and it will highlight the listen button, if not. But that would take a long time if you went around doing that. One of the other things you can do is you can look for eagles flying in the air. The eagles are always landing on really, really tall buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So you can climb up at pretty much everything. And it's got this new animation system.
Yeah, we know all that.
Yeah. So you climb up to the top. When you get to the top, it's got synchronized. And what it does is it shows this nice swing camera movement as it swings around him, and you get the whole city and everything's rendered and looks pretty and looks absolutely amazing. And you can actually look and start planning your route, where the rooftops you want to go to, look for where guards are and know where to take them out first. When you do that, it puts on icons where there's points of interest, where there's people where you could go pickpocket someone, beat someone up, interrogate them for information, or overhear a conversation.
Adam, let me stop you. This game strikes me as being rather violent.
Oh, it's majorly violent. So then you go down and do
what all rating
these,
is it? 16?
I think it might be an over 15 one, yeah.
Is it BBFC?
I think so. I'll have to have a look when I go and let you know. But yeah, once you've done that, you go back to the bureau, the assassin's bureau.
Oxlow's left the chat room because he says Top Gear is better than us.
Oh, is Top Gear on?
No.
Oh shit, I'm missing it. No, don't worry, I'll
record it if you really want.
No, I can watch it another time. I didn't realise how long the show's gone on for.
Well, yeah, the trouble is your phone conversations interrupted our timer.
Yeah. So yeah, you get all the information, you find out the assassin, you go there. Now, there's multiple ways to get into the building. There's lots of guards, there'll be people, archers on the walls. When you get close enough, some cutscene will happen that will allow some information, you find out what's going on. And then from once the cutscene is over, then you're able to get close enough to the bloke. Sometimes I've mucked them up and I've ended up in a massive sword fight, taking on all the guards, trying to run away, chase this bloke down, and some of them, the people you want to assassinate, will fight you. They're trained killers. Some of them are completely out of wimps and just run for it. So you have to fight your way out this group of guards, run across a few rooftops, jump on barrels, and you try and free run as much as you can to catch up to this bloke, and then you can just leap on him, and you've got this blade that you can shoot out from your wrist. This little thing, and you can shoot.
Predator style.
No, you just go like that, and it comes out, and then you have to put it back in again. So when he does that, you can jump up and you can stab people in the neck, and then you assassinate them and stuff. And the storyline's really good. But one thing that is quite interesting, because they've actually written a book for it, you know, like how they've done the books for Halo, they're doing books for Assassin's Creed.
Oh, you do a book.
But one thing that's quite interesting, because it's in a different time period and it's reliving someone's memories, there are actually going to be two more games, which will be based in different time periods. But it's more in that time period. There's less of the gameplay in the normal time period. It's all in that. It is really, really good. I'll bring it round and you can have a go and see what you think.
To be honest, I was liking it until you told me about all the pseudo-scientific mumbo-jumbo in it.
You can just ignore that and just go carry on enjoying the rest of it. But yeah, I've been playing this non-stop.
Right, so what would you give out of 5?
Out of 5, I will actually give this 5. I barely found any bugs. I only found one, and I've never seen it again. Gameplay-wise, absolutely amazing. This is going to be one of those games where I am rushing through to get to the end because I'm loving this storyline, but I know when I've finished, I'm just going to go back and start again. I don't pick any other game. I've got lots of games I'm enjoying at the moment. I'm still enjoying Skate. I've got Halo 3, loads of games to be playing on my Xbox 360 and on my Wii, and all I want to do is play Assassin's Creed at the moment.
Right,
it's a keeper. I'm not going to trade this game in. I'm going to be keeping this. It's going to be a go back and play when I'm in the mood to go kill people. And
okay.
And in comparison to Hitman, I thought Hitman was good because it was so open-ended and you could figure out how you wanted to assassinate this person. This is so much better because it is all. There are multiple ways of getting into a place, and you can either go in swords swinging, or you can be like in the wind and just. No one would ever know you were there, so.
Oh, screw that! Let's go in, kill everyone who's a threat, and do whatever I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh yeah, the whole idea.
None of this prancing around business.
Running on the edge wall of battlements, guards turning around and going, "Hey, you're not supposed to." And literally, as soon as they finish the sentence, they get a throwing knife straight through the throat, and they'd fall off. And when they hit the ground, all the guards come running to find out what's happening. And while they've run away from their posts, I sneak in around the back, stab a few people, threw a few throwing knives in the back of the head. and I kill their main bloke while they're all too busy worrying about some poor guy who fell off a battlement with a throwing knife through his head. So, yeah, I would say 5 out of 5 for me. Absolutely love it. It's got a hell of a kicking on reviews, but I'm loving it.
Okay. Funny song. This is our funny YouTube video segment.
Okay.
Because last week we did Star Wars. And this is good as well.
My life is brilliant. My name is James. I'm only 7. And that explains why I've never had a best friend. Until you came along, the people stop and they look at us and they say that it's wrong. They say, you're a paedophile, you're a paedophile, you're a paedophile, they say. Your name is Clive and you're 45. But you don't let that come between us, and you make me hold your hand. We went to the park and we fed bread to a duck, and then you took me home so that we could eat dinner. And now I've got your fish fingers in my tum, and then you try to push your food on my plate. You're a paedophile, they say. You're a paedophile. You're a paedophile, they say. But I don't care, 'cause you're always there, like when you helped me find my spectacles, and when you fiddle with my hair. You find me after school, you watch me in the pool, you make me laugh when you act silly. You take me to the swings, you buy me sweets and things. Sometimes I play with your watch. You're a paedophile, they say. You're a paedophile. You're a paedophile, they say. Or have I misheard? Yeah, I've got the wrong word. I mean that you're my babysitter. And though you are my babysitter, you still take me up the shops.
That's pretty cool.
There you go, funny video of the week. Oh, that's not really that funny.
Right, so you got a review of...
Yeah, I picked up Supreme Commander last week. Forged Alliance, the expansion pack, which is also a standalone expansion pack. So you don't need the original game to play it. But if you don't have the original game, you can't play the original three factions in like multiplayer. You can only play the Seraphim.
Okay.
Comprende?
But if you've got it installed, it'll allow you... It'll
use it. We'll say, hey man, you've got Supreme Commander, therefore we'll do 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 that.
Okay. So it is a proper expansion pad, but it's been made standalone to not work, but you don't get all the features.
Yeah.
So you'd be Seraphim versus the Seraphim on multiplayer.
Yeah, unless you're playing against someone else who had the original Supreme Commander, in which case they could play as anyone they want, but right. You're stuck as playing as a Seraphim. Which is fair enough, I suppose. So yeah, it adds quite a lot of new stuff to the game. I didn't show you a lot of stuff I should have shown you, didn't I? Because it's got like range circles and everything now, and it's all funky. There's a new Fog of War system as well, which is maybe it's not as good. New UI, as you commented on, which is probably the biggest put off I had initially, was they changed the UI. And the trouble for that is, if I play my dad, for example, he's used to the old UI, and that would really throw him. It's like, oh, well, I don't know what the... Blah, 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 blah. So I think it needs an option to have the old UI put back on.
Especially if you've got the original game.
And especially if you're playing with somebody who is not as, let's say, not as agile mentally. like who can just snap, this is new UI, that's that, this is that, blah 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 blah.
It looks different, but you can read what it does.
Yeah. It did take me a few minutes to get used to it because they've moved the stuff from over there over here. They've undocked the map and you can put the map wherever you want now and so. So yeah, they need an option to have the old UI put back on. Because everyone complained about the old UI, they said it was too big and everything. But I never thought it was.
I liked it.
So yeah, they need the old UI back.
Mm.
So yeah, adds a new side, the Seraphim. The storyline of the actual game involves the Seraphim attacking everyone. It's the Seraphim are a bunch of aliens who come along and kill everyone. And then the UEF, the Cybernation, and the Aeon Illuminate all team up and be best friends to fight the aliens. That's where the storyline's coming from. So it's got like 110 new units in it. So for example, the UEF, they've got like a tech-free transport now, which has like 25% more hit points, double the capacity of carrying stuff, and it's got a shield generator on it. There's some more tech-free gunships on a lot of the sides now. UEF also have a tech-free missile launcher, which fires a salvo of free missiles. They have a even more high-end mech walking dude with like a really powerful gun, but because it's such slow firing, it's really best used against defenses rather than other units. The UAF also have a new experimental unit which unveils the whole map as far as I can tell, and I think it might like act as like a satellite defense platform as well. Cybern have a new Monkey Lord type bot. It's called the Megabot, and it's like double the hit points with like really uber powerful weapons on it.
Cool.
I've not played the Aeon yet, so I don't know what they've got new, but everyone's got like new tech. They've got a new unit for each tech level. Like the Tech 2 UEF, for example, they've got a Riot Engineer, which is an engineer with guns on it, but it can only build like fire base stuff. It can't build like normal buildings, but it can build like base defenses and things like that,
which I suppose is quite good because it means it can stay out there in the rough area building base defenses and guns and can still defend itself, where you want the other ones for building the shields.
Yeah, because before it was so annoying to have your engineer come up against like a Tech 1 scout or a Tech 1 little dude and lose.
Yeah.
Especially because Tech 2 engineers, they are expensive if you've just got to Tech 2 land. They've also got a Tech 2 bot, like the assault bot from Tech Level 3. So it's like there's quite a lot of new stuff. New buildings as well. There's like engineering buildings which like automatically repair buildings inside their radius.
That's cool.
And things like that.
What'd you give it out of 5?
I've only done skirmish so far. So, judged on the skirmish, I would give it 5 out of 5. I've only done the first level of multiplayer, single player rather. And that's good. But it was always the multiplayer which was the best bit of Supreme Commander anyway.
Yeah.
Performance-wise, there's a few performance issues if you assume you can run everything on high, because they have added a lot of new graphical effects as smoke and fire when buildings are under attack and all that sort of stuff. That, takes its toll. So if you could play Supreme Commander and max that on high, you might need to tone some of the options down for this to get good performance. Other than that, that's it, basically. It's a really good game.
Cool.
It gets the thumbs up.
I will have to go purchase a copy.
Yes.
Right.
Then we can play and kick ass.
My next review is on Super Mario Galaxies on the Wii.
Super Mario Mortal Wombat.
This does...
Ooh, let's find another funny YouTube video.
This does on what I was expecting it to do. A lot of people did not like Sunshine because it was too Mario 64. Mario 64 was good because it was so disorientating, because it was so far past what any other Mario game did, that it was brand new. Everything was new. Everybody had to learn everything, and the control system was different. The view was different. You were brought out of your comfort zone, and it was exciting.
Ooh, exciting.
Mario Sunshine, it was just a polished, better-looking Mario 64 with no power-ups. You just had a stupid water gun. And it looked nice, it played well, but there was nothing new there. It was too similar, it was too as it was. Mario Galaxies, they've taken Mario and kicked him clean into orbit out of your comfort zone. The camera is completely in a completely new place. The fact that you're running around a level is a ball. You're on a small planetoid and you can do laps of the thing.
That's so unrealistic. Let's look at the science here.
He's in the Mushroom Kingdom. Shut up. He's talking mushrooms.
Let's talk about the science.
You can touch a flower and you can shoot fireballs out of your hands. What science is that?
Dude, how do they propose that these objects in space become spherical with so little gravity?
I don't know, but...
Hang on, if Mario jumped, he'd jump clean off in orbit with how big some of those planetoids are. It's ridiculous. This game is ridiculous, and it's sort of pseudo-scientific notions about how gravity works.
And some of them are missing parts, and if you fall in the middle, you die, you get crushed.
Crushed by what?
Kind of like this black hole thing in the middle of it. It's not a black hole, but you know what I mean? It's just this kind of like...
A black bit.
Yeah.
A void.
It is really good.
I'm fed up with your pseudo-scientific
One thing
reviews.
That's nice is it's the mushrooms are back. You get like this bee mushroom that gives you a bee suit, so you can climb up sticky walls and you can fly around and stuff. There's a boo hat that turns you into a ghost, so you can So you turn into the boo ghost, so you can phase through stuff. There's the classic fire flowers back. So this is going to be the first 3D Mario game that's got the fire powers back.
I'm so excited.
An ice hat that turns you into Ice Mario, so you can run along water and you freeze it and stuff, and you've got freezing powers. And Spring Mario, so you've got this big spring around you and you can bounce around.
Don't say that, you'll get all the religious people upset. Only Jesus is going to walk on water. How can Mario walk on water and freeze it?
Because he's freezing it and it's solid ice, so he walks on it.
Grey area, man, grey area, you're going to get hate mail.
It looks absolutely amazing, plays wonderfully. It is a really, really fun game. It's worth the wait. And it is just like playing Mario 64 again, on the fact that everything is new and the way that you got to go around it. So I can say it was definitely worth the wait of waiting from the Wii to come out to, literally wait a year now. Wii's been out a year, hasn't it?
Yep, a year.
So... worth a year. It's not going to be the best game in the bloody world. There are games that are out there better, so don't start thinking, oh, he said it was the best game and it's not that great. It is Mario. It does what it says on the box and that's it. If you find Mario 64 was rubbish and you thought Mario Sunshine was rubbish and you're waiting for something better, then this might be better, but it's not going to be the best game in the entire world. But for a Mario game, it rocks. It does what it needed to do.
The title of best game in the whole universe is reserved for... Halo 3.
Doo-doo-doo. Assassin's Creed.
No, dude. Halo 3. Yeah, you were saying? Before I interrupted you.
There's this really weird thing where you're picking up these star bits that you can shoot to stun. Because in the Mario 3D games, whenever you collect a coin, you actually take your life back up a bit because you do have a life. It's not one hit, one kill. You get certain bars on this clock and it goes down. And that's what they've always had in the Mario games. The cool thing about it now is if you stun a character by firing these star bits with a pointer on the Wii remote and then you kick them, you get star bits and you collect them and they're useful.
Hang on, is this a game for kids and you're going around kicking people?
Yeah, but if you jump on a bad guy, you'll get a coin, and a coin is useful to bring your life back up. So,
oh, so not only do you kick them, you rob them as well.
Yeah, it is brilliant. But it looks absolutely amazing. They really paid attention to what the Wii can do graphically to make it look good instead of just spending all this time. You know, it does what the Wii can do, and it is very cool. I haven't played too much of it. I've only gone through first.
Adam's been too busy playing Assassin's Creed,
which is absolutely amazing by that. But yeah, it is really good. I haven't had a go at two player Sarah yet. We're meaning to. But one thing that's quite cool is that.
It's got a new feature called the Leprechaunus Ubermite.
You know, like, you'll have so many slots that people can put their own games on so that they can play and, you know, not take... They don't complete your section you're doing. You get these little avatars you can pick the heads of different characters. So you can have Yoshi or Mario or Bowser or Princess or whatever. The cool thing is you can also pick one of your Miis.
Good.
So you can have your Mii character there, so you can see the family can go through and go, oh, it's my turn to play with my character or whatever. So it's nice that they've brought the Miis in on it as well.
Oh yeah, they should. The Miis should are the user profiles.
Yeah, and it's nice that they're bringing it in. And the
and
fact
games
that
don't make use of it should not be on the Wii.
Yeah, the fact that they've shown that you can do that, it might influence more other games that the Miis should really be used as the game save avatar. But yeah, it's absolutely amazing on the way it looks. It's very quirky, very Mario. But it's new, it's different, and that's what's good. It is, they've pushed it. They didn't try to play safe like they did with Sunshine. They said, let's do what we did when we actually made N64, with the fact that we went fully out there and broke so many Mario classic rules that we always abide to when we made the 2D platform. And that's what made it good. And I think they've realised that they had to break the rules again. Now, fair enough, there are lots of elements that they pay homage to from Mario 64.
For example, it's got a character called Mario.
And they play homage to some things that are from Sunshine, and these are just things that really did work. So
yeah, Mario Sunshine was good. I like games with water pistols or water guns.
But yeah, I definitely, I haven't played it enough to rant and rave. I think, you know, you've got to be in the mindset to be playing a game constantly, and Assassin's Creed has dragged my attention away from Mario. So maybe after I played Assassin's Creed and finished it, I start playing Mario more, that I might bump up enough to say 5 out of 5 for it. I will, at the moment, I'll give it 4 out of 5, but as a Mario game, it's definitely 5 out of 5 if you were competing against just the other Mario games. It is worth it. It's not like they've just made a botched job, booted up some old stuff, and said, there you go, just play the same stuff with different levels. So I'm quite happy. One thing that they has changed that has never been in a 3D Mario game is Mario Sunshine, the only thing that you could get that was from the other ones was Yoshi. You didn't get any firepower hats or anything like that. It was just this stupid water pistol with upgrades. Mario 64, you did all these hats. One made you fly, one made you slightly invisible phase through stuff, and the other one made you metal. And they all had their different purposes. But they all had a time limit. You were timed on how long you could have them for, then they would wear off. So far I've only got the bee suit, but the bee suit is on permanently, and you only lose it if you either get hit by water, you fall in water, or you get hit by a bad guy. Bar that, it's on there like you would on any of the platform games. You always keep it until you lose it. So it made it a bit more interesting that you can go through the level and you're not like, damn, I've got the cool hat, quick, run for it. You're actually, you've got it and you can take your time and you don't have to rush to this bit that you needed that suit for. So for that, I'm quite impressed with, but I am absolutely loving it. It's definitely worth buying. One thing I would say is get it from Tesco's.
What is that?
£29.
What is it everywhere else?
£34.
Look, get it from Tesco.
Yeah, I saw it on the website and thought, I can't be arsed with buying it off Tesco's website. No, bollocks to it. I can't be bothered. And I thought, I'll go in and get it from Game, and I thought going to say hello to you and all the boys and stuff. And I was kind of like, do I get it or do I get Assassin's Creed? And that day, Sarah picked up Assassin's Creed for me, and I was like, cool. And we went out and we went shopping, and I thought, ooh, Morrison's, I'll see how much it is in there, because I bought some stuff in there quite cheap. Went into Tesco's and I said, right, I've got the money on me, I've got 40 quid, whatever it is, it most likely be the same as it in game, I'll just pick it up, I don't care, I've got enough money to afford whatever it is. Straight there, what is it? It's the bloody internet price, £29.97. I'm having that. So yeah, definitely good. And I feel sorry that if you really, really want it for Christmas and you haven't got a Wii, because they're going to be out of shortage of Wiis.
Right, Nintendo DS as well.
Yeah.
I'm so right for them advertising the things on telly.
Yeah. Everyone wants one, so no one's gone.
Yeah, the people who wanted them now have been unable to get one because all the people who decided they want one after being brainwashed by what they saw on television.
Yeah.
I'm fed up with shoot adverts.
But yeah, Assassin's Creed, definitely good. I have to bring it around just so you can ignore the science.
Yeah, I need to. I need to see it really.
Yeah, it is one of those games. I was like,
bring it around now. Go get it.
Sarah isn't one for games, but even she sat down and watched it play. She said, visually,
apparently, yeah, I've heard it is fun to watch.
Yeah, visually, absolutely amazing. and the environment is working with you or against you. Like, you'll be going along and these guards know
with
you.
With me or against me?
You know...
Eat lead, Mother Nature.
Is that classic bit in the video where we were looking at Biohazard and they said you've got to use the environment.
You mean Bioshock.
Bioshock, sorry. And they was like, use the environment, and you were like, oh, well, God.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
Yeah, the whole concept is you're using the environment. Kill soldiers who falls off a wall, everybody goes, looks at it, and you walk around, and you can walk into a doorway that you couldn't walk into before because the guards...
Have walked on to see what's going on.
They'll actually push you out of the way and start having to go at you, and you get this icon that says whether or not no one can see you. It's a bit like Metal Gear, but different in the sense that people can... You know if you're visually being watched, and you know if they're being suspicious, and then you've got this thing that says they're after you, and you have to tactically do right-hand turns down alleyways so you break the line of contact, because you can't hide if they can see you. But as soon as you break the line of contact, you can go quickly sit on a bench in a group of people, hide in a mass of people, or dive in through some curtains into an area that's enclosed visually sight, dive into some hay and stuff like that. So, and then you've got to hide, and all of a sudden all these guards will just turn up where you are, and they're looking for you, and they're like saying, where are you? God, where have you gone? And they're all speaking in different languages and stuff, because it depends which guards and which city you're in. Because there's four large cities that you can explore, not just Jerusalem.
What were the other cities?
I cannot pronounce their names, but one of them's got like the Templars and the King Richard's castle, and it's all English people that are in there, colonists that have come across. Another one's
great very, English people.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing we need, prancing around.
And it's all very slummish and very crappy, and then you've got these really nice, pretty Arabic places, and the other one that's very... And each one's different, because some of them have got less guards on the roof, some of them have got shed loads, and you have to be careful where you're running to. Some of them it's best to just drop down into the streets and hide in the streets and go underneath them and stuff. And everything is all... there's very tactical in the sense of you've got to think about what you're doing, but it's not like... You've got to think what they're telling you to think about what you've got to do. It's all in your head. You've got to decide how you want to play this. You can walk in through the front door, or you can climb over and go flying over the top. My phone's off again. Right. But yeah, Assassin's Creed, very cool. That's all I got to say.
Right, one last thing, quickly.
Yeah.
Oxlow asked how similar is it to Thief?
I hadn't really played Thief that much. Because Thief was first person, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This one, I would put it more up there with Hitman, in the sense that it is...
Well, that's no good for me. I ain't played Hitman.
It is good, but it's different.
Give me a copy of Hitman.
It's a third person. It's a bit kind of like when you play, you're like, okay, this is what Lara Croft should have been like.
Ooh.
I mean, it says, you know, Lara is like running around, you jumping from thing to thing, but it was always to one move and then you stopped, one move and then you stopped, and it was very jaggedy and couldn't control it. This, it's like flowing liquid. You can just run constantly, and you feel like you're running along, and you see that all of a sudden you see in the corner of your eye on the screen a post. And you just slide the analog stick to the left, and you'll see the ankle moves, he changes direction, throws himself off, one foot onto the post, leaps over, and then you miss the roof completely. Quickly hit grab, and he starts pulling his arms out, grab hold of a windowsill, slide down, drop onto the next windowsill, and you're dangling there, and you're literally like, whoa. And then the next minute you're doing is swinging the cameras around, going, are there any guards? Can anyone bloody see me? Am I going to get a flipping arrow in my back? And then you start climbing back up, get to the top, and then you have to start looking around, because the last thing you want to do is step right in front of a guard, and then you climb up and then you continue running. But when you're being chased, it is fun. It is worth just going up to a guard and punching him square in the nose and then flipping running for it, because it is pretty cool. The other thing that's quite good is when you go up and assassinate someone in, like, where you've got that trigger, if you went and ran at someone and assassinated them, you jump in the air and you just stab him in the throat, you pin him to the ground, and that's like high... I can't remember.
Hi, my name's Assassin.
No,
you're dead.
High profile. When you go low profile, you'll go up to him and you'll sneak up to him. You just walk up there and then you'll just pull the knife out and go straight into them, walk away. And you could literally turn round, put your hands down, pray, and then walk into a crowd before the guy is literally there. Go, and then he just drops down. And you can go and assassinate someone like a guard or something, make him drop down the street, and that distracts everybody else.
Do you have a poisoned umbrella tip? That's a good one for assassinating people. You just walk up to them and accidentally stab them in the leg with the umbrella tip, and the umbrella tip's got some poison. Then a couple of days later, they die.
Literally, your weapon.
That's the way we do things in KGB land.
Your weapon is a sword, a small knife.
No umbrellas.
A small knife for throwing knives. The blade that's hidden in your gauntlet and your fist, so you can do hand-to-hand combat. And the other thing is, because of the time period it is, someone having a bit of a punch out in the street, unless it gets a bit too violent and a bit too close to the guards or to a sensitive area like a gate area or something, the guards will watch you, but
they're not too bothered.
They won't interfere. So it means that, like, you'll find this guy who's blabbling on and he's being all politicky and saying, "Must follow this person, he'll make your life better," and all this. You know that you need to find out, you know he's working for this bloke you're trying to assassinate. So you wait for him to walk off, follow him down a dark alley, and even if his guard's there, you just punch him in the head. And you'll get these guys that you normally pickpocket off to get throwing knives off, because you can find these baddies that wander around. They'll join in for a hell of it. They'll think, oh, fight. So they end up getting half the street trying to fight you. And then once you've beat this guy up, you interrogate him and then you kill him, and you've got to move away from the scene quick enough. So you don't really want to fight him in front of guards, because when it's finished, you kill him. He falls to the ground, the guards will come running over to see what's happening, and then they look for people who are suspicious, and if you act suspicious, they'll go crazy and they'll start chasing you. But you can just sneak away, and it's all about misdirection. You can really get guards moving around out of your way, and then moving through. But then all of a sudden you think, shit, I'm stood in a courtyard, and every corner of the wall has got a guard looking at me with bow and arrow. So then the next time you do this distraction, you make sure you get up on the buildings either side and hit throwing knives at these guards, drop them down onto the walls, then you do the distraction, you know no one's going to shoot you from above. So you have to think, you have to be looking at all the exits and look where you're going to run from and try and find these barrels that are going to allow you to get up this wall. And it starts making you look for hand grips as well. You're looking around at walls thinking, there's hand grips up there, I can actually make it on top of that wall, which means that when I kill this guy, I'm going up that one and I'm going to run across the battlement and leap off the end. And you start looking for pigeons and birds as well, because you see them. It's normally a key sign to say that there's like a bit of hay there, and it's just on the edge of a wall, and that normally allows you to do this thing called a leap of faith, where you leap off, you do a front flip into the hay, like I showed you on that video, and that's normally a good way to get a run away from people, and you can, that's how you get off the towers, because you climb up pretty easily, but to climb down it takes forever, so you literally just jump back down into the street. But the other thing that's quite interesting is, because you've got all these cities dotted around in the map, you can go into the kingdom, which allows you to ride around on the horse, and the whole place is surrounded by men in encampments and stuff like that, small villages. And there's no missions in there, but you can go around and explore them, and you've got these flags that you pick up, and they're like the extra features. You go around and collect these flags, and you'll get gamer score for collecting all the flags in each town. But you're more likely to just pick a fight there, but it doesn't have any bearing on the game. So you can really start practicing your techniques of following a guy and going, I'm going to assassinate him. So you get past all the guards, kill him, and then try and get away. So the game's got scope. It's not just towns and you go to them. You can literally bypass all the walking and the riding of the horse, and it does take a while to get through everywhere. And the maps have all got fog of war, and the maps start expanding themselves out, but it takes forever to find anything. And it's got all the street details, but you would have to walk down every corridor, street, and back alley to get the whole map expanded. So you look around for this eagle, and you get up, and you synchronize the map, because he's basically looking around at all the streets from this high point, and some of the churches, they're flipping high, and you go up, and you're like halfway up, and you're like, right, no more hand grips. So you go all the way back down, go around the edging to the next face, go up this church face, no more hand grips, but I did get higher. Go back down, go around the other side, there they go, this glass window's got a framework around the edge of it, climb up the glass framework, up onto the top. Shit, there's guards. Throwing knife through his neck. Oop, he's seen me. Throwing knife, missed. Sword fight, knock him off and watch him go all the way down. And it's not like he disappears. When he hits the floor, all the guards come running and start looking around for who did it. So there's all this, like, you know, you have to try and be inconspicuous and blend into the crowd.
Simple. I'll just ignore this whole assassinate business because it's rude.
But
and then I'm not going to beat people up either. And I'll just be a normal person going about my daily business.
It is nice, the first game where walking is part of the game. you don't want to have to run everywhere walking. You when you've done the assassination and the bells are giving it Wolf 4 because this big guy's been killed, you don't want to run for it because you'll just attract attention, because every single guard is suspicious. They know something's happened, and every time you walk past someone, you only have to nudge some woman carrying a jar on her head, and that's it. They all go, "Yo, get him, assassin!" And they all start chasing after you because they know you're about, and they're literally looking for you, and all you got to do is drag their eye attention to you, and that's it, you've had it. So, definitely good. Unfortunately, I've not seen any demo out on Xbox Live, which you really would, because if they just gave you part one city and one mission to go through, or you had on a time limit to go through, it would be enough to sell the game tenfold, because as soon as you play on that, just being able to free run around is absolutely amazing. And the town where you start, they've got this whole town set up, so you can practice. You know that the guards there are your guards, and if you went up and killed someone by accident, they will attack you and you will have to run away. But for that matter, you get the same experience of knowing how far can I push it before a guard will be able to see me, and then the icon changes and you know someone can see you, and you can practice jumping from building to building, practice jumping off them into the hay bales, and feeling what it's like to free run, where you're running from barrel, grab hold of something, swing underneath it, the next one you grab on your feet and jump, and some of it's quick fast moving, some of it's slow moving, and it's definitely a good game. I'll bring it over next week for you to have a go.
Good.
But yeah, that's it. I've got to make it home for in time for.
Yep, we will be back next Sunday, normal time, episode 99.
Yep, 99.